Thanks for checking out the TVR show. Let's get started. In the comic, just like in the show, Omni-Man gives the "This is where I really come from" speech. But there's a lot of differences in the comic. Let's check them out. Just like in the show, Viltrum decided that they wanted to be the best they could be. And the only way to do that was trial by combat. They started attacking each other, killing the weak. It was a unanimous decision. So everybody that died was willing to die. And that's kind of crazy. Once all the weak were gone, only the strongest survived. And we all know that Viltrumites get stronger the older they get. So it's not even like in our society, the old would be gone, right? As you get older, you get weaker. It's the opposite there. So you gotta think, a lot of the young generations were getting wiped out. It's insane. But we already knew this. Let's get into something we didn't know. As the Viltrumites started to conquest new worlds, they would set up a global watchtower that would monitor the planet that they wanted to start invading. Now, they didn't want to just kill everybody and all the inhabitants. They wanted to take them over and have them become part of the Viltrumite Empire. They wanted to be able to use them to help their conquest. They essentially gave them an ultimatum. Either you resist and we absolutely destroy you, you become extinct, or you work with us and we will give you access to technologies. People won't be sick and old anymore. Who knows what other kind of technologies? Fucking sweet Netflix subscriptions. Actually, no. This is Amazon. This is Amazon exclusive. A sweet Amazon Prime. A sweet Amazon Prime subscription to all the latest shows. They were using a lot of Viltrumites to take each planet at a time. And as you can see, this dude looks like straight up like Zod, right? He's got the Zod stance. Everybody does. They're doing the Zod flying, arms crossed. We learn in the comic that Viltrum was one of the first empires of the galaxy. So that's why it was so easy for them to start doing this conquest. Will we find out later what other empires there were? They say one of the first. So there's obviously many. And it's going to be interesting to see what else is out there. So as the Viltrumites started to spread out throughout the galaxy, their numbers started to dwindle. They were starting to get spread too thin. So they definitely needed these other people that they were taking over to help them out. So they show little snips of, you know, soldiers going towards planets to help out. But none of them were as good and successful as a Viltrumite was. We get to see young Omni-Man. The mustache is still looking goddamn good. But he ain't got all the muscle that he has when he gets older. Omni-Man started off as just a scout. He can go and see what planets were within reason of takeover. If a planet proved too hostile, they wouldn't even waste their time. Because now, they're only able to send one, maybe two Viltrumites per planet. But Omni-Man, he wanted more than that. He auditioned for 3 straight years in front of the Council of Viltrum. I actually don't know what the name is, but that sounds pretty cool. Within front of the Council of Viltrum. He auditioned for 3 years. And finally, with flying colors, he passed. And they chose him. Omni-Man was an absolute savage when it came to destroying people and making them bend to their will. He was basically the MVP of conquering. At this point, he still had an entire squad, so it wasn't one or two people per planet. Omni-Man conquered so many worlds and persuaded so many civilizations to join that he ended up getting rewarded, and it was the closest thing to a Viltrumite vacation. And remember, none of this shit was in the show. His vacation was, he would get to go to a planet, which ended up being Earth, and he would have 500 years to himself to do whatever he pleased. But his main goal was to weaken the defenses of the planet. But he had 500 years to do so. This is one of the greatest honors a Viltrumite could get. When Omni-Man got to Earth, he did not expect there to be so many cataclysmic events. There was constantly bad guys, constantly other aliens and monsters trying to take the planet over, And like we learned in the show, it wasn't theirs to conquer.
Earth isn't yours to conquer.
While whooping ass one day, he met Debbie. In the show, they didn't even show how they met. This is a little bit of a How I Met Your Mother. And damn, did Debbie look good, man. Shit! We got some big ass rock guy with a fucking racing stripe on his face trying to mess her up. Omni-Man comes in and yo, he's starting to get swole now, all that conquering, and he's showing off and shit. Yo, what's up, baby? Yo, see something you like, speak up, you know what I'm saying? We find out that when Viltrumites have sex, it's only to procreate. So when he met Debbie and they started dating, he was in for a pleasant surprise. He talks more about how he started falling into the role of hero and losing his main mission. He was starting to get sidetracked. And unlike the show, we see that the Guardians of the Globe one day go to Omni-Man and they want to recruit him. In the show, they say that Omni-Man never wanted to become a full member. But what we get to see is Omni-Man started becoming friends with the Guardians of the Globe. I mean, true friendships. Martian Man's throwing back a cold one with him, just throwing out the old Martian burp. It probably sounds like that. He's playing chess with Nightwing and even Red Rush, helping Omni-Man with his new outfit. And this really makes me think, I wish they would have put this in a show, because when we see Omni-Man in the comic take the Guardians of the Globe out so quickly, I mean, like that, they didn't even have time to resist. He just cut their heads off and ripped their guts out, and he was so fast at it. It makes sense now. Those were his friends. He knew his mission was to weaken the Earth, and he didn't want them to suffer. I mean, if you take a step back and look at his viewpoint, Viltrum is coming for this planet, okay? The Viltrumite Empire's coming. Omni-Man's not going to be able to stop them. He has to go through with the mission. The most humane thing in his eyes, the way he was raised, was a quick death for them. So, yeah. It's pretty brutal, but I wish it was in the show. That would have been a nice little touch. Omni-Man and Debbie were together for a few years, and Debbie really wanted to start a family. So that's when we see Mark come into the picture, and we get to see Nolan's thoughts on this. He's thinking, and this is giving me some DBZ vibes, he's thinking that he doesn't want Mark to grow up with other humans. He's thinking about taking Mark, bringing him to a deserted location, and starting to train him like a Viltrumite. And this kind of reminds me of Piccolo and Gohan when they're out training in the wilderness and in the mountains, and there's fucking dinosaurs and stuff. And yeah, I was getting some serious DBZ vibes here. It's pretty cool. But Omni-Man didn't do it. He didn't bring himself to do it. He started actually to think if he allowed Mark to grow up as a human, when the Viltrumite Empire showed up and humans decided they were going to join the Empire, he figured that Mark would give a good insight to the World Conquering Committee, which is part of the Viltrumite Empire. It would greatly help them in this alien environment. Oh, and another note. In the show, we don't really know why he killed the Guardians of the Globe so quickly. And we kind of thought, I thought maybe it's because Mark got his powers. It was almost immediately after, right? In the comic, Nolan actually states it's because Mark got his powers. So just like in the show, after he's done telling him this, Mark and him start arguing. And Omni-Man, even in the comic, throws out, "Your mom's a pet." And of course, what's Mark's reaction gonna be? He's fucking pissed. Nobody calls my mama a pet. You kidding? He goes off. After the pet remark, another thing that's in the comic that's not in the show, and man, you know, like I said, if you take a step back and think in Omni-Man's shoes, it's probably the kindest and closest showing of love a Viltrumite can have for another Viltrumite. So Nolan tells Mark he was actually hoping, now that Mark has his powers, that they could rule the Earth for centuries before the Viltrum Empire came. And as crazy as it sounds, I mean, this is like his idea of them bonding, right? I mean, it's kind of crazy, but like, think about it. He's trying to bond with his son And he figured him and his son could conquer the world for a couple hundred years. And it would be like their vacation. And I'm sure in that matter of time, he would teach his son more and basically give him a crash course of what it's like once the Viltrum Empire gets there. Because I'm sure they're fucking absolute savages. And vacation time's over. But it's pretty wholesome. So just like in the show, they end up going at it. But in the show, Omni-Man punches Mark around a little bit. And Mark gets to get a couple punches in. In the comic, the very first punch, or that Omni-Man, lands on Invincible. Absolutely devastates him. I mean, he goes fucking flying more than any villain that's ever punched him. That one punch literally sends him through buildings, just like in the show. And I mean, like, a portion of this city is destroyed. And we'll come to find out that this is most likely Chicago. Big thing with the show, there's way more gore and violence in the show than in the comic at this part. There's no body parts. There's no Mark trying to save a lady in the building. None of that's happening yet. They get more into a disagreement. Just like in the show, Omni-Man spears his ass into the train station. But the train scene doesn't happen in the comic. And damn, I gotta give him props, because in the show, that train scene was unfucking forgettable. The closest the comic gets to stating all the people that are currently dying right now, Omni-Man says, one punch from a Viltrumite kills thousands on this planet. And he goes on to basically state how pathetic human beings are. Mark throws out a, you bastard! And then just starts getting fucking absolutely whooped. Whooped! And this is where we're gonna break out the old map. So we don't know where the fight started in the sky. In the show, we see that some jets scramble and Omni-Man absolutely murks the poor guys in the jets, you know, just fucking squashing the one dude's head like a grape. And then that's when they do the old punching to Chicago. So let's start at Chicago. From Chicago, Omni-Man brings Mark into the sky, starts whooping him. I mean, like, destroying him. And then Mark lands in the ocean, just like the show. And after he gets a couple underwater punches in, goes back to the sky, punches him one more time, unfucking believably powerful. And Mark's body hits Mount Everest. So from Chicago, whooped into the ocean, and then punched one time all the way to Mount Everest. Mark got beat up for over 7,000 miles. That final punch to Mount Everest was probably between 3,000 and 5,000 miles he traveled. Imagine getting punched so hard in the face, your body goes 5,000 miles. This is nothing compared to the villains Mark's been fighting in the comics, right? They kind of knock him down and shit. Now all of a sudden, Pops is hitting you across the fucking planet? This shit is insane. Just like in the show, that moment on Mount Everest. Omni-Man savagely beats Mark into Mount Everest. Like, savagely. The most savage beating so far in the comic or show.
Why did you make me do this? You're fighting so you can watch everyone around you die. Think, Mark. You'll outlast every fragile, insignificant being on this planet. You'll live to see this world crumble to dust and blow away. Everyone and everything you know will be gone. What will you have after 500 years?
Are you dead? I still have you. Dad?
Honestly, a pretty fucking tear-jerking moment right here. Now, I didn't tear up, you know, because I'm too awesome for that. But If you teared up, I'm not. You get a free pass here. You get a free pass. That's all I'm saying. And even Omni-Man tears up in the show, right? He goes to space, a little tear. But in the comic, Omni-Man starts bawling his fucking eyes out. He starts crying. And gee, I mean, fuck, man. Would you start crying? I mean, you're a savage. You were raised as a fucking savage, world-conquering superhuman. Or not superhuman. Super fucking alien Viltrumite. Your whole life. And, man, this is his first time loving something, probably. It's fucked up, man. It's fucked up.
Dad.
And Robert Kirkman, you know, coming up with this shit. Good job, man. Good job. I'm loving the story. But let's continue. This whole time in the show, Debbie was watching with Cecil from his headquarters. But in the comic, Debbie, Adam Eve, everybody's watching from their own homes on TV. They don't know what the fuck's going on. They don't hear them. It's hard to track them. I mean, you know, keeping a camera, you know, panning on a guy getting punched across the planet, it's kind of hard. We even see the tailor that makes the suits sipping, watching from his little hideout headquarters. Mark's fucked up. Takes him 2 weeks to get better. Just like in the show. Absolutely annihilated. Cecil brings him into the invisible room, like the show. It's not invisible. It's just like on a different light spectrum they have on. He's like, yo, what's going on in here? Cecil's like, don't fucking worry about it. Your water supply is poisoned. And there's like conspiracy theories in real life just like that. So the fact that they threw that in the comic book's kind of funny. So Cecil decides to ask Mark if he's willing to be the new Omni-Man. And by new Omni-Man, I mean he's probably the most powerful person on the planet now that Omni-Man's gone. And he had a personal pager for Omni-Man, so he's asking Mark, hey, will you take this pager if there's some crazy shit going on across the planet no one else can take care of? I'll take care of your mom financially, because Nolan made all the money, and I'll even make sure you get into Upstate University. And Mark gladly accepts. Also, it's stated in the comic that Debbie doesn't have to do any interviews or anything because Cecil's company, which is called Guard, almost like a fake-ass shield, they have hologram technology that's unbelievable. And they were able to replicate her interviewing. Let's continue. So a threat starts coming towards the planet, and we find out it's Alan the Alien. Mark meets him. They have the same exact conversation as in the show. Pretty much nothing different, honestly. Except, Alan says, Viltrumites, when they conquered his planet, they resisted. So they almost made his species extinct. And he kind of says, you know, Mark's talking about how Omni-Man's his dad, and, you know, he's a bad dude. And Alan is like, I don't even know my father. And he kind of gets sad. And it's fucked up. Alan's almost like, yo, bad dad's better than no dad. He don't say that, though. A couple other things I forgot to touch on. We see Donald still alive. He never died like in the show. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the show. Because in here, Donald's alive. And Donald's the man.
Run now!
So we see Donald working for Guard. And he has a meeting with Robot. And it seems like Teen Team hasn't been working up to par. And it looks like they're on probation. So we're finally all caught up with the comic and season one of the show. There was a hell of a lot of differences. A lot of side arcs that we never saw in the show. Will those characters come out? We don't know. Big differences, right? In the show, Donald died. Donald's still alive in the comics. In the show, all that stuff happened with, I think his name was like Machine Head and Titan. None of that happened in the comic. Could it still happen? Yeah. It's not as crazy as like a character's death, right? In the comic, Amber is still trying to make things work with Mark. They were never broken up or anything. In the show, they broke up. She broke up with him. She knew about his identity and everything. In the show, Amber is an asshole. That's the best way to put it. He's getting whooped by fucking, what the hell, Battle Beast. And she's in the soup kitchen, bitching about it. Dude's in the hospital and shit. And she's still holding a grudge. She knew he was invincible and that he got whooped. I mean, she's just constantly, I mean, she's crazy. She's crazy. And then what? At the end of the show, Amber decides she's going to try to get back with him. And he's like, yo, chill. Like, my dad just put my face through like 1,000 people's bodies. She's pretty selfish in the show. Her character's like big, totally different. And then another thing is, in the show, William is openly gay. No interest in Adam Eve. In the comic, William and Adam Eve are hooking up. Or at least they're dating. So that's a big difference too. So coming into season two on the show, there could be a lot of big differences. And I like that. Not sure what to expect. So that's very cool. I like that they changed some characters that much. A lot of people don't like when characters get changed, comic to, you know, TV. But when it's more than just the character changing in my eyes, right? They're not just changing the character. I mean, the story's changing too. So it gives readers something new. And beggars can't be choosers, okay? If you want to see the exact same fucking thing you read in the comic, I mean, you're going to get bored. You're going to know everything that's happening. But if things are a little bit different, I like that. It's refreshing. I like refreshing. That's refreshing. Let me know, guys, what you thought about the series. Everything helps. If you guys like the video, comment, share it. You know, share it to your buddies, share it to your grandma, whoever, anybody that's a fan, because I want to, are you ready for this? I want to bring to life season two, what I think is going to happen. I want to do a series on my predictions for season two, and I am going to try to make the comics look as animated as possible. It's going to be the closest thing to season two, but it'll be more of what I think's going to happen compared to what the show's going to do. Because who knows, right? And all the support you guys give me helps me create these series more. It takes a lot of time, and it's costing a lot of money. I'm not a super awesome video editor. My video editor is. And he's a triple-A, you know, Steven Spielberg type, so he's not cheap. And within, we'll say, 3 days of this video posting, I will be choosing the giveaway winners. Again, thank you to everybody that has stuck through the series. I appreciate greatly all the support I've been getting. And as a thanks, enjoy this sketch by one of the artists. How cool is that? We never get to see all the characters together, right? Look how big Alan is compared to everybody else. We just see them fighting and stuff, the show, everything else, right? We know he's jacked. He's absolutely jacked. But I mean, we're going to say invincible, maybe 5'11", right? Omni-Man, 6'3", 6'2", 6'3". This dude's like 7'6". And I mean, he's so jacked, he's taken up like 4 people. He's huge. Is that how his whole species is? We don't know. But we'll find out season 2. And remember, like, share, subscribe.